Podcasting is a complicated profession, which is why we're here to discuss The Bad Batch Season 3, which has recently concluded airing on Disney Plus. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by the rest of my clone family. Kat Benish is here. Hi, Kat.
Hello, and I won.
Saw that coming. Tony Sindelar is also here. Hi, Tony.
Hello, nerds. Happy Star Wars Day, if Dan edits this and releases it immediately.
May the 4th be with you.
It's Star Wars Day as we record it,
or
which is valid.
May the 5th be with you, or the 6th, or 7th, or really just 9th. May the 9th be with you.
May September 27th, 2025 be with you, whoever is listening on that day.
Happy Star Wars Canada Day.
So Star Wars, a lot more U's in it. We are here to discuss the series finale. Of The Bad Batch,
Season 3. Everyone ends on Pabu, including the clones.
Episode 15.
Insert a clip here of me saying several weeks ago, I don't see this show ending with them all on Space Grease having a good old time, eating ice cream, living life.
Literally, there was a guy walking by eating ice cream in the last scene, which I enjoyed.
I think they're eating like skewers of meat. I thought
they look like ice cream.
You just want ice cream.
Always.
I had really good ice cream. Not before the show, but I did have really good ice cream today.
Cool. Good story.
Good story.
If you're in Somerville,
did you find $5 right after? Is that
no, but I did have some really good Butterfinger and chocolate marshmallow on a fluff.
How
cone.
Is the story about you eating ice cream still going?
I have nothing
Dan,
to say.
Dan, what Anyways. About you? Were you just watching Catty Ice Cream?
Did no,
you
I
ice
had cream to watch also? Our child.
Oh. Cat's just eating ice cream.
She
doing
left the house and went and had ice cream while I sat at home.
Friend. While you supervised
with
a child?
A
that doesn't make
oh,
it better.
Oh, okay. No, it actually makes
okay,
it a lot
a
better.
Bit.
I mean, it's the other story is slightly more sociopathic.
But yeah, no, I was really happy that this, I mean, we'll talk about the episode, but, and I do wish we got a little more.
We're talking about ice cream still? I'm so confused.
No, the show, the episode. I do wish, my only complaint is I wanted to spend probably like 5-10 minutes learning about how the clones lived like years later. Like, I wanted to see like Wrecker, like
Danny
Fish
Maul.
Shack. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like.
And you get a denouement, but you don't get. We you were looking for a Return of the King level of
yes.
endings here.
Well,
right?
I don't think no one's looking for Return of the King.
Those are the only options. It's either 45 minutes of ending or no ending.
By the way, do not get the oysters at Wrecker's Fish Shack. Trust me. All right. This is episode 15 of season 3. The cavalry has arrived.
A 50-minute episode, which means that, in fact, though, I did not win. For those of you who listened to last week's episode... we were doing what?
I was just like the people who tune in for just this episode.
Well,
or just skipped last week's for no reason.
You've got to admit, there are podcasts like you don't listen to every single podcast. You kind of skip around, right?
No, I'm a completionist.
I don't understand. No, I. Yes.
But so essentially, but just to remind folks who like don't like build their entire life around this podcast like we do, we did have a Price is Right rules bet on what was going to be the length of the last episode. I bet 52 minutes, Dan bet 42 minutes, and I believe Tony bet 22 minutes.
Oh, I thought, yeah, that's right. You tried to do...
I think I bet a minute.
You bet a minute, but I think you revised it to 22 minutes at some point.
Yeah, whatever.
Either way.
I don't...
Like 20 minutes.
Obviously, I'm super invested in it.
Dan wins.
There was no stakes, though, so...
But the first version of this we did do an over-under, and you said under, and I thought about saying over, but I didn't say it, but I did think it, so...
I thought you were mainly extremely confused by the rules of over-under, if I remember
You need
correctly.
To state a number for there to be an over-under. Over-under what? Yes. A bridge?
I did, like, over-under, I think, 47 minutes, and you said under initially. That was the first bet.
I think you were misrepresenting this conversation.
Someone will also read the literal transcript.
I don't understand. Let us move on.
Anyway.
Anyway.
I guess we should do a recap of this episode.
Sure.
Sure.
So, building on last week's episode, Omega has a plan to get all the kids out, which basically involves reprogramming the droid, knocking out the doctor when she comes to investigate, and then escaping through the pneumatic tube system. Is it really a pneumatic tube system? It looks like elevators.
It's more like a magnetism. I will say I did love the robot slowly creeping around
the doctor.
That was excellent.
That's a good. There's a lot of good tension building throughout this episode. And they knock her out. They go out through the tubes that Omega's discovered. They find the Zillow Beast. They release the Zillow Beast, which causes a lot of havoc.
I didn't totally. The Zilla Beast was like in a liquid.
Yeah, it was like suspended.
But it had like lasers or force fields over.
There was also a laser grid. It was like, I don't know. Is that like good for the Zilla Beast, or is that to like we keep the Zilla Beast sedated by like submerging it in just like a nice like hot bath at all times?
Yes, a warm bath, bubble bath.
Yeah.
Why would
he ever want to escape? Yeah. But we have also put a laser grid at the top of the bath just in case.
We should try that with our child.
Sounds like a great plan.
Laser grid.
Yeah.
I mean, like the guards that, you know, that are stationed at the Zilla Beast, because that seems like a high stress situation that they are not great at, where it's like, children, we're easily distracted. And then the Zilla Beast is out and the guard is just like, oh, no.
Well, it seems like they had no protocols. They're like, oh, we're going to fire the laser, like, which did nothing. And then it was just panic of like, where, like, this is an incredibly dangerous creature. Don't you have any protocols?
Yeah. I thought they should either have like a camera or like maybe there should have been like one of those glass boxes over the switch that opens up the Zilla Beast so that a small child cannot free the Zilla Beast.
There was a lever. There was some buttons there should be press and a lever.
There should be a key. Okay. There's no password. Okay. The Zilla Beast is not password protected.
There was no two-factor authentication.
All the way.
Yeah.
And that factor was a button.
Operated by a small child.
Yeah, medium child. Yeah.
They then have to climb out in the wake of the Zillo Beast, which is
a very tall shaft
with a lot of ladders. Meanwhile, Echo and Emery are investigating. Emery's decided to help Echo, as we saw at the end of last week. They go down to the vault, but they discover, the stormtroopers have already found the knocked out doctor. Echo realizes that Omega is trying to escape. And so they go off looking for her and the rest of the kids.
I did appreciate that every time they run destruction, they're like, oh, yeah, this must be Omega.
Yep, Omega's been here.
It's a good plan. And then meanwhile, Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair are outside in the forest, and they are sort of trying to evade these patrols. Neither Wrecker nor Crosshair is in great shape. Crosshair seems to be having a lot of hand problems. Wrecker has been hurt from his encounter with the animal last week. So they are trying to get in at the same time. All of our storylines kind of variously like intersect. Eventually, the kids get out. Echo saves them from getting accosted by stormtroopers and then teams up with Omega while Emery takes the rest of the kids off world on a shuttle to go to Space Grease.
And a little interesting that we're just going to gloss over the fact there was no sort of anti-aircraft, no clearance required. There's enough chaos going on. They were able to sneak away, which I can buy. There was some brief conversation about air cover earlier.
Yeah, they withdrew all of them to go after the Zillow Beast, which they mentioned. So, and I think they expected people to be coming in, not people to be going out at that point.
Yeah.
So it's a,
and the fate of the Zillow Beast is never really shown, right? The Zillow Beast basically tears a hole in the base and it's like, I'm going out of the jungle.
Accompanied by the strains of the Jurassic Park music.
A banner saying Tantus Park.
No one is going back to that planet.
Yeah. Fast forward to the budget meeting they had at the end.
Okay. That doesn't go as well as you think it does over the microphone.
I heard nothing. Yes. So,
I was trying to whistle the Jurassic Park theme, but I cannot whistle.
You just figured right then maybe you would have learned to listen to learn to whistle between now and the last time you had tried.
But this time I might learn to whistle. Yeah.
Oh, well, there's hope. You can still learn. Yeah. I only learned to snap my fingers like last decade.
What?
Yeah.
I think you say last year. Yeah. I was like that
last night.
I couldn't snap my fingers for like 25 years. I can.
What helped you learn?
At one point I could just do it. I don't know.
Were you constantly trying and then like something finally clicked or like,
oh, I had snapped? Like given up. I was like, that's not a thing I'll be able to do. And then one time I tried it and I was like, oh, so
I can't,
I don't
do...
know. Maybe it's, is it possible just arthritis? Is that an...
No, cause I have arthritis. It does not make it easier.
It doesn't make it easier.
No,
but I mean, really maybe doesn't. I'm not even snapping my fingers. Maybe there's just like a sound of clacking bones.
Are you a living skeleton? I guess technically.
We're all living skeletons, Dan.
Sort of. I guess. Yeah. I can't do the thing, the whistle where you put the fingers in your mouth and whistle really loud.
I never learned to do that. I can't do that.
That's super cool. That's some Will Riker level nonsense. I can't do that. Yeah. You know?
Someone needs to. Anyway.
I would like to learn how to do that, though. Yep.
Mainly, I'm surprised how easily both of you were distracted by my stupid story that was based on Kat inaudibly whistling Jurassic Park.
I will be curious to know if our listeners can hear Jurassic Park when we get to the space.
They'll hear the whistling, for sure, because it's not dampening that out. Whether they know it's Jurassic Park may depend on context. Anyway, so the Hunter, Wrecker, and Crosshair get into the base. They are set upon by Hemlock has released the rest of his creepy clone operatives.
CX operatives.
Who
CX.
Turn out to just be clones. Just and no guys. One special.
Not tech. Not nope.
Not evil bad
who
batch.
Else could they have been? Yeah.
The bad,
not,
bad
not,
batch.
They're not the good zombies. Batch.
Wait, what?
They're just some guys.
The better batch.
Or ladies. Yeah. They could be ladies.
It's true.
Not even the one from before who fell off a waterfall. I mean,
I
maybe.
Think one of them, one of the guy looked the same. One of them.
Waterfall.
Damn, they're clones. They all look
the
same.
No, the helmet. He had the same helmet.
Waterfall guy is actually dead, right?
No, he climbed
totally
back. That's right. You're right. You're right. He's back. Anyways, they're not.
As far as, based on my seeing of TV, waterfalls kill nobody. worst case, amnesia.
But they're not the bad batch. So they're just clones. They're just reprogrammed clones who are considered useful to Hemlock.
They're just clones who have no personality.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well.
Their personality is jerk.
Death.
They take out the bad batch in this scene, including a particularly brutal scene where the guy who has these cool yellow swords cuts off Crosshair's gun hand.
Yeah. They did not. Did they show it later?
No, he's got. Oh, well, no, they showed a stump. Yeah, like they stump. Basically okay. cauterized it, and like he had a stump.
Yeah, there was a lot of death in this episode.
There was a lot of
still
death.
Still unclear
in this
if
episode.
They just gassed a whole bunch of clone troopers if they were knocked unconscious.
Yeah, I don't think it was good for him. Yeah,
I mean, also mainly there's that challenging thing of like, yeah, there may be a lot of people that were like stunned or knocked out by gas. But also, we did not have time to do a full sweep and like bring everybody that was maybe okay home.
Yeah. Like, so a lot of stuff blew up, like a lot.
A lot of stuff blew up.
Yeah, and I love like the ship damage. That just sort of like they attack and just slowly crashes. And like there were probably a whole crew on that one. Yeah, just
yeah. So Omega and Echo go to break out all the other clones and the rest of the prisoners, which includes Nala Se and Rampart.
Weird mixing together of characters. I don't know how much they've had to interact recently, right?
Kind of enjoyed that, but
does Rampart and Nala Se know each other?
Yeah, I think so. I think they interact. Well, if not, I mean,
in the context of Kamino, it's been a while for both of them.
Yeah, I don't remember.
they've both done a stint inside at this point, and yet have very little shared experiences from that.
Yeah, so Nala Se decides she's going to destroy all of the research and all the specimens so that Hemlock can't proceed with Project Necromancer.
And because we know from the experience of this universe and their insistence on hard currency, we are again also highly confident it's not a very large cloud-based society. Therefore, there are no backups.
Well, we know
it's
this
really
from
hard to do.
Rogue One, too, because they have to like beam it and off.
Especially, I mean, off-planet backups, Kat, that's real hard to do.
Trishare. So Nala
it's
Se
absurd.
Goes
like,
off.
How can you destroy the amount of money that they have just like the Imperials just wasted on slagged hard drives?
I have bad news for you about waste and every military organization ever.
Touche.
He all right. So yeah. So Nala Se goes off to the lab. She's gonna destroy all the research. She starts doing that, but Rampart has followed her. Rampart decides he's going to blackmail the Empire basically and like with this information that they want
I believe that he believes but is also a bad plan that I believe he is capable of
a very good Shakespearean ending like he had a chance to walk free but he died because of his own fatal flaw.
Yeah,
because of greed. Yeah,
yeah. So Nala Se has a thermal detonator, and well, doesn't end well for either of them. But also, he basically destroyed her entire homeworld.
Oh yeah, no,
so
that's
very
fitting.
Nice poetic justice there.
And I also liked that. I thought Nala Se was basically going to be the one to initiate the death, but she clearly was doing basically a dead man's switch. So Rampart kills her, and then obviously she takes him down. But it seems like she's willing. She's going to try to do it without killing him. Just destroy the knowledge, but
anyways, couldn't have happened to a more jerky guy.
Rampart, you will be missed.
No, you won't.
I enjoyed him as a character.
I did enjoy him as a character, but he got his fitting end. Yes. I felt very, yes. very apropos. Echo and Omega take all the clones who have volunteered to help them, and they go to find where the rest of the Bad Batch is. That turns out to be a trap.
Like a weird, multi-level room that has like a training facility on the downstairs and a brainwashing facility upstairs.
Somerville real estate.
It does actually, it does actually remind me of the training facilities you see back in Kamino in Clone Wars, where they have like all the moving walls and such.
There is a little bit of that, yeah. So I mean, clearly,
it was the mixing of lab and like also. The brainwashing space up above, which is like just no railings anywhere.
Again,
it's all in glass.
We don't do railings in Star Wars. Again, season 2 of The Mandalorian.
Sorry. Mm-hmm. All I was thinking was when he said that with the brainwashing space upstairs, is like picturing like a realtor taking them around. And then we have a lovely brainwashing space upstairs. Mm-hmm. You could put a throw rug here. You could pep it up a little bit. Hemlock has been trying to recondition all of the Bad Batch. It's not going particularly well. Mainly, he's just zapping Hunter a lot. your brainwashing system is not as sophisticated as I thought it was.
Again, medical science in this universe, again, highly questionable.
Not great. So we have a big fight there. There is one point where Hemlock gasses everybody in the training area, which seems to not go well for those clones. We don't know if they're dead.
I'm going to just assume they were all knocked unconscious and they're all perfectly fine.
Except for the ones who die.
Who takes a shot later who seems kind of okay.
Yeah. Also, one of them definitely gets impaled on one of those swords.
Yes.
That guy's dead.
Yeah. That guy's dead. Yeah, no, that guy's very dead.
Echo really holds his own here.
These sweet swords that cut, they're basically, I mean, I don't know if they're vibroblades or what are they,
I think,
but they're basically lightsabers that one guy has that we have not seen anywhere in Star Wars, Bad Batch, or Clone Wars ever.
They have knives.
Super awesome for everybody to have one of, and it's like, no, just this one guy, because he's bad.
There's a guy with, like, laser bolas, too.
Yes. Oh, yeah, he gets Wrecker with them, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah.
And it was like, wouldn't a normal bolo also have worked in that situation?
But it's electric.
Thank you.
And then there's like a shock pike or something. They all have this is the classic like toy moment where it's like, well, they'll give them all different weapons.
Because
they're distinct.
But that's not feasible.
So we can sell
anyways.
Five different action figures.
Anyways, giant fight.
We are reminded that you know, trooper helmets, though horrible for peripheral vision, do filter out knockout gases. Gas.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Also, Echo is just a badass in this entire episode, pretty much. He gets a lot of shots off. He avoids a lot of shots. I'm reminded that he was like an ARC trooper before this. So he's like special ops. So he holds his own quite well.
He has also not been sitting in a jail cell being starved like most of
his buddies.
Yeah. Yeah.
He has not recently had an electrical current run through his brain like his friends.
No, he's constantly has an electrical current run through his brain.
Technically, we all have electrical currents in our brain.
Anyway, I do appreciate how they animate Echo. I mean, especially the, you know, they do not have him using his arm that is a droid arm to do stuff. Like they really go out of the way that like the way he moves and the way he shoots is different than all the other clones. So
I've always enjoyed him as a character. And again, he goes back so far in the Clone Wars chronology that like they've spent a lot of time with him.
This was one of the areas of this episode that I thought was like weirdly compressed. And kind of, to me, made the pacing of the whole episode feel a little weird. Part of it was just, like, the jump from where we were last episode to the start of this episode.
Yeah.
But then, like, we have the big fight scene outside, and then, you know, the Bad Batch is captured and experimented on very, very quickly.
Well, they're efficient. It's an efficient facility for doing that.
I think it's hard because, like, we're trying to be, like, everything is happening at once, and Omega is trying to break out, and there's all these things happening, but it's like, a fight happens, they all get like knocked out, they get put on carts, they get rolled through the base, they get strapped into a thing, you know, we're apparently into phase one of his experiments and his evil speech about how he's going to turn them into being bad.
I think he's doing it because he knows it's all a trap for Omega, right? He does it for Omega. It's clearly an ambush, and so he's not actually doing conditioning. He's just like, there is no conditioning. This is literally just the electrical current room.
Dr. Hemlock, we've strapped them in. Like, we will begin our evil experiments. Do we have time for this, sir? There's a Zillow Beast.
Now, Zillow Beast tore a hole through Alpha Section.
This is what we want to
do. So many people have died in the last hour. Like, do you have time for new things?
It's bait.
I guess. But, like, maybe we just lock these guys up for a day and deal with this tomorrow after we, like, put up some temporary force fields? No time.
Omega, helps get them, the Bad Batch, loose, sneaking in. And then we have another fight, which was kind of fun.
Fight.
And then Hemlock grabs her and, like, handcuffs them together and starts, like, taking them out. Like, runs out to, like, where he's summoning the ship. We saw the fancy armband with, like, the ship that the CX trooper had.
That's what it was. Okay.
And so they go out onto, like, this long gantry, and they bring the ship down, and they're gonna get on, and then the ship gets shot down and exploded, and we get a standoff. First they kill, I think that's Scorch, gets shot and thrown over the edge. We talked about him a few weeks ago. He was, like,
Scorch
originally from a video game. He's the guy with the glowing faceplate.
Yes.
The main commando trooper that Hemlock always talks to.
I will be honest, because it's such a dark show, there are many times, like, someone in armor got thrown across the, like, the room.
He's the one.
I have no idea if it was a good guy, bad guy. But even before that, just this, like, there are so many moments where, like, I do not know who was just hurt.
I do appreciate also, like, he's a clone. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to save him. Like, that guy made his choice. He's dead.
Yeah, well, you know, he wasn't in jail. They came to save the clones that
were in jail. Saving all our brothers. Asterisk.
Yeah, I mean, the ones who are actively trying to kill us, we're not going to save it. They're not stupid.
Yeah. Omega does have an actual gun in this episode at one point, which I wonder about, but then it's set to stun. So they didn't make her start, like, we're not going to have, like, it's not really a child soldier if they just stun people. Like,
Dan, she stabs an evil scientist. Isn't that enough for you?
It was pretty good. So we have the standoff scene where Crosshair and Hunter are, like, sort of leaning on each other.
Yeah.
Hemlock's got Omega and is pointing the gun at her. And Omega very rightly points out, as I thought to myself, where she's like, you're not going to kill me. You need me. He's like, well, technically, yes.
I mean, I don't know if he actually does, but, like, let's go with it.
He does. He needs her blood.
He does.
It's all
he needs her blood.
But, like,
for his whole plan because he got a mean phone call from Governor Tarkin being like, I want your funding. And he's like, I'm doing Project Necromancer. It's the Emperor's most important thing. I've got the blood of, I shouldn't talk about it, but I've got the blood of this weird little clone kid. And that has gotten me the Emperor's favor. And so it doesn't matter that you're a governor. I'm a super scientist and I'm getting all the money. So, yeah.
I agree with all that. Again, I just question their medicine. Like, does he need, like, routine access to her blood for testing? Let's go with yes. But I did appreciate when they have the shoot off of you. I don't want to.
Yeah, well, I was thinking.
Don't let it stop you.
It would have been an interesting move for him to, like, stick a syringe in her and be like, I just need your blood, and then throw her off the thing.
Oh,
like,
God.
That would have been if there was another season, that's how they would have played it.
Yeah. I did enjoy, though, when he goes to, obviously, she pulls out what's essentially her screwdriver, stabs him,
her little lockpick
drops,
thing.
Yeah. Crosshair takes the shot. One, the two things I loved about this one is Crosshair doesn't want to do it, right? And Hunter has to talk him into doing it. So it's the reversal of why Hunter was upset at Crosshair earlier, I think, not being there for her at a key time. But two, in order to take the shot, we have to go back and watch it. But I think he might actually have to physically rest on Hunter to make that shot.
Yes. Yeah, I was kind of reminded there's a sequence in Mad Max Fury Road where Mad Max is like the tripod for a sniper, basically.
Always a relevant movie.
I mean, two things with that. One, I made a joke to you about, like, how while we were watching it, like, this is the moment we find out where Crosshair is not left-handed, which is essentially true, is apparently he can shoot as well with his other hand, more or less.
It did make me question, like, why did we chop off his hand if that did not, like, matter for the story later?
Yeah, I think
Star Wars just loves taking off arms and hands and arms.
He'll get a robot
one. Yeah, okay, or, you know, he walked out of a bar by his friend. You know.
And so, you know, they have that great moment where she like twists and he shoots the binder.
Yeah.
And then they shoot Hemlock a bunch and he falls over the edge.
Yeah, he's shot and falls down a pit. So yes.
Real bad news for him.
Probably dead, but Tarkin in Star Wars world, dead. Who knows? Yeah, I mean, falling down a pit basically means you're alive in Star Wars, but he got shot.
He got so shot a lot first.
And we did not see
it's not like he got cut
waterfall.
In half and falling down a pit.
No waterfalls were in sight at the moment of death.
That's true. I did like this has a sweet moment where Omega runs up to them and then hugs Crosshair.
Yeah, Crosshair first, yeah. You know, could have been a group hug, really, you know, Omega, but
I did appreciate you know,
there was a meaning to it. Yeah.
There is a reference back to the beginning of this episode where Crosshair basically says, I'm going to go in alone. I know this facility. And if we all go in, you know, we're not all going to come out.
Did they discuss a plan 99?
They basically tell him not to think of, like, you're not sacrificing yourself, essentially. And I think,
which I believe is a reference to
Tech dying.
Tech was referencing it. I believe Tech dying was referencing Plan 99. I believe Clone 99 was the like the janitor clone on the back.
Oh,
of the
I assume they have different numbered plans.
Yes, they do.
Oh,
but I thought
99 because of the.
I think Plan 99 because of Clone 99.
Oh,
what happened to Clone 99?
Sacrificed himself.
Yes,
he's the kind of like elderly, hunchbacky looking clone.
Yes, yes.
I forget. He does something where he sacrifice himself
in Clone Wars the show, right?
I forget if it was in Clone Wars or in Bad Batch.
It might have been the beginning of Bad Batch.
I thought it was something that involved the Bad Batch.
May have been.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
Yeah. Well, but it's the point where it shows you that all of them were needed, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
Wrecker has to keep them, like, you know, keep everybody else alive. Wrecker and Echo have to like take care of all the bad guys, and the Hunter and Crosshair are needed to get out there and work together to take out Hemlock. So it reinforces they're all together. This was the part that seemed to be mispaced for me. We're like, we gotta get to that shuttle, and then it's like cut to shuttle leaving. Like, we didn't even see. Did they get everybody else? Did they?
We see people
Echo?
Running
where's
on. Yeah. So we see Mervin's fine. I mean, you don't need to see it.
It's
I was
fine.
Okay with
it's
that.
It's just
one.
A little. It was a little too quick.
I had some tension where it's like, did they all make it until we see them?
Or did the shuttle just leave? And like, guys, for us.
There was a beat there when they're like looking at Omega with some like meaningful looks. It's like, does that mean the other two are dead? But no, yeah, everyone's dead. I do like also when they left the quick jump to then Tarkin jumping in.
Jump out and then the Star Destroyer, including and
first chronological appearance
of
an
ISD2. Or I guess it's technically probably an ISD1, but it's not a Venator. It's an actual legit Star Destroyer.
It's flanked by two Venators, right?
Yeah.
Well, so Tarkin gets the first one, I guess. Tarkin shows up and is like, this place is a mess.
Yeah. And there is no one anywhere near his rank to be like, oh, we can save it. You know, what if we? And he's like, nope. I'm just giving a speech to anyone around. This is like, we're done with this. And I'm working on a new thing. I think your kids are going to like it. I call it Project Stardust.
Which is weird because we know Project Necromancer continues to exist in some form.
Mm-hmm. My hunch is they mothball it and then just pull it back up later.
Yeah.
Right?
So there's still
a great
research.
Idea. Yeah.
There's a little bit of offsite backup where they've got like you know, Hemlock's notes, but from 6 months ago.
They have all the status reports like Tarkin's clearly been getting.
And then also, Moff Gideon has clearly some access to this later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Tarkin. Keep your mouth shut about the secret project that people aren't supposed to know about.
Yeah.
And here you are just like standing around a work site being like, Project Stardust.
He's not calling
Project
it the Death Star. He's got a code name.
I think the existence of Project Stardust is just pretty top secret.
He had all those people murdered the second he left.
He was like, glass it. I'm down.
I did enjoy
it. Guys, I accidentally mentioned Project Stardust. You guys are all going to have to die now, too.
I like to mention, like, this is his cleanup crew, and, like, the people who are coming with him to clean up the base are his most trusted folks who all have security clearance. Like, you're not going to put junior grade officer next to Tarkin who, like, just might happen let it.
These slight, like, if in one corner of the screen there's like one stormtrooper who's like Project, and then just gets shot. I liked they also had that. We got that overhead shot of Tantiss again,
great.
And then the Star Destroyer coming in over it, which
bisecting
was pretty cool.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's also a cut later where we have, I think, our first overhead shot of
Pabu. Pabu. Yes.
Yeah. They love that overhead shot with the circles. Uh-huh.
And they also love that cave. But yeah, let's sugar up
all right,
this
so
everything important happens in spooky offsite parking cave. You know, long-term
starship parking.
Shadow parking. You know?
So first we get a brief denouement back on Pabu where the kids are running around with
Jedi
the clone kids that they rescued. And then they basically talk about Echo and Emery are going to go off to Pantora to help some of the clones settle in and to work with Senator Chuchi. And then the rest of them are hanging out until they can find the families of the kids.
Really sort of like, we might find them? It was not the satisfactory ending I was hoping for, but at least they're going to try.
That was a little realistic of like, they didn't just have the families there waiting. There's millions of families.
That's true. They've got to go find Cat
Bane. If only somebody would invent some kind of logging chain code system.
Yes, there we go.
Where kids just had things embedded in their arms that would tell their identity.
There we go. This is the reason why they invented it.
To help then, lost children get home?
100%. That was the reason.
I'm pretty sure it's for more nefarious reasons.
All the clones made it to Pabu. Everyone stayed alive.
Yep. Omega, Omega says, like, what are we going to do now? And Hunter's like, we can do whatever we want.
She's like, no, but really, what are we going to do now? And he's like, no, really, we can do whatever we want.
But Hunter, you're not hearing me. You need a job.
Omega, you're a child. You have to go to school now.
School? And then... flash forward.
I was a long dark cut. I thought they were like you cannot end it. I was about to be very angry.
An indeterminate number of years later?
Yeah, I'd say it's probably 10-ish. Yeah, she seems probably late teens, early 20s.
And again, Bad Batch happens when versus A New Hope?
Bad Batch is immediately after episode 3.
What's the time difference between, third movie and A New Hope?
It's Luke's life, 18 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is probably a little bit before...
That's probably like 12 years then.
It's before Rebels. It's probably a little bit like Andor-ish period.
What if she shows up in Andor?
Remember, there was at least one significant time jump. Remember where Omega was in jail?
Yeah.
Space jail.
She's probably 6 months to a year.
That's why I said
like
if that's 10, if she was like 40, like 26, 28. Yeah.
I don't think she's in her late 20s. I think she's in her.
So this is an early rebellion then.
Yes. I think this is very early rebellion.
Yeah.
It is called, she does say the rebellion though, right?
Yeah. So
she
goes
doesn't say the Rebel Alliance. She just says the Rebellion.
Yeah, so
I'd have to consult some... I don't know what the... When did they file the name change?
The trademarks,
on our terrorist movement. Like, you know.
So she basically goes down to the cave, or the offsite parking cave. She's got a ship there, which looks like an early version of the Phantom.
It did. I wasn't sure if that was like just generic space Star Wars runabout.
And Hunter's waiting for her there with Batcher and is like, where are you going? And she's like, I gotta go join the rebellion.
My first question was like, how long do Lurka Hounds live? Because Batcher's still there doing okay. So it's like, it can't be that long.
They cloned him several times. They cloned her several times. That's Batcher 3.
Okay.
Hunter's looking all grizzled, but he's got a great outfit. Yeah. Boy, I love that outfit. Yeah.
You like his hippie dad outfit?
Surfer dude.
I literally feel like he walked out of Three Ninjas or something, the movie.
Yeah, he does look like, you know, he's surfing in the morning and doing gardening in the afternoon and playing in a synth rock band in the evening.
A lot of pickleball.
Yeah.
A lot of pickleball.
They chose to do a bunch where it's he's lit, so we're looking at the, like, tattooed skull side of his face, which was a little an interesting choice, right?
Well, I think they did a great job graying him out up and also fading the tattoo. They did a really nice job of that. We also, I was going to watch a movie. The intro was different on this episode too. The graying of that reminds me because the intro lacked the usual wrapped up title screen.
It did.
It was slow.
Yeah.
So Omega's there. She's off to be a pilot. He basically says,
but it's our job
kind
to
of always be
our
kid, and she goes off
and you did.
He's a total dad and turned off the lights.
Yeah, and there's some goggles on the
dashboard
of the space shuttle. Yeah,
tech.
So,
and that's the end of the show.
And that's the end of the show, which is
and we don't
know what's
have
coming
to talk
next.
About it at this point. No, we're just done.
We're done.
No, that's we it. Should talk about our feelings. It ended. I feel like I was surprised by this episode. I was surprised by the ending, but I think I feel good about it. I mean, I think it did a lot of things I was not expecting it to do, which is exciting when a Star Wars thing does things that you don't expect it to that aren't bad. Looking at you, Boba, Book of Boba Fett. So many on things I didn't expect. And yet.
it's 2x2 there. Unexpected and good versus bad.
Good. Yeah. I don't know. It's nice to have a Star Wars series that ends with a, you know, I thought more of them were going to die, basically, to get to the happy ending, right? I didn't think it would be a happy ending for so many of them.
I think because it was a happy ending, I'm honestly going to say I think that makes the show for me. And the reason I say that is it makes this a story of a number of soldiers who have grinded in their career, who've sacrificed a lot of time and effort for a greater cause, and who get to, like, retire. And I think that's, we never get to see that story. And it tees up like 10 years, like they're going to call them back out of retirement. But that wasn't some sacrifice, that it was just text last season. Like, the show was good, solid, enjoyable, never really got me, but I hope they are officially retiring the Omega, like, chase after Omega in the universe plotline. Give these guys a chance to retire, and, like, actually putting an end and a bookend to that plotline makes me enjoy it. And solid B. But pick that plot up again. Otherwise, I'll be furious. I will personally more or less be agree. Furious.
Yes, well, I agree. You'll be furious.
So the thing for me that struck me as odd with this one a little bit is that I got to the end of the show and I liked it. I thought it was a good, you know, good ending. I do think the show ramped it up a lot in the second season. I thought this third season was pretty solid overall. However, I get to the end of this episode and feel like it feels like the end of a chapter, not the end of an entire story. Like, having Omega go off and join the rebellion and, like, having all these characters who are so well developed, and they do have a sort of closure, but, like, to your point, like, Wrecker, Crosshair, like, we don't see what happens to half the people in this story, which feels weird. Emery just disappears. Echo is off there. Rex never showed up again. You know, like, all these characters who feel like they are out there and have these many stories to be told about them, and including Omega, who, you know, I think, first of all, I love the way they aged up her model. I thought that was really good. Like, I like that they made her voice older, but more recognizably her. They didn't switch her voice actor. And it felt like, oh, this is an interesting story about her going off, becoming a pilot, and becoming, like, joining the rebellion, the nascent rebellion or whatever. I kind of feel like, but what happens to her?
But, like, I think that's good, right? Because I think where Star Wars gets wrong is, like, oh, we want you to know everything that's going to happen. Story. It's like, no, take the characters, put them on the shelf for a while, and then, like, I still remember when you and I were watching Rebels the first time, right? And when Ahsoka shows up in season one, you were the most excited person. You were crying. You were so excited that Ahsoka was back. And, like, I am looking forward to an Omega-like moment at some point in the next 3-4 years. Omega's going to show up on the screen and be like, oh my God, it's Omega. Who knew?
And that's what I'm saying, though, is, like, if you never see Omega again, this feels like a little bit of a weird, like, okay, it's like the Ventress thing. It's like,
it does. I forgot about Ventress. That the Ventress
episode. That was, weren't we like, clearly she'll come back otherwise?
That was my opinion.
Yeah. And that's otherwise, why I feel would like, they make this episode?
That's why to me it feels like,
they resurrected a character who was canonically dead without explaining it. And we're just like, whatever. We wanted to.
We really like the swamp Bayou.
And so I get that moment of thinking, like, you know, as with, like, Clone Wars, Bad Batch, Rebels feel like chapters of this Star Wars animation story. And it feels to me like there are more chapters to be done, right? Like, if they stopped doing animated shows right now and none of those characters ever reappeared, I'd be like, why? Like, what was the point? Yes. Like, it is a nice self-contained story, but it feels like it's certainly either it should have been shorter or longer.
But sometimes artwork is just there for being there, and it's just about the journey, the friend you make along the way.
The journey, man. And I will say it is tricky where you know, it's a season finale. It's a series. I think it's an excellent season finale.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good series finale. What it is not a good finale is a finale for all animated Star Wars.
Yes.
Which I agree on that one.
Which we don't know if it is or not right now. And we now have the weird thing where lots of characters cross over between animated and live action So I guess I'm kind of just hanging on. Dave Filoni loves his toys and is going to, any character that he creates is going to come back in other ways because he loves all Star Wars, but he loves the characters he has created more than anything. And at the very least, you know, there'll be a cadet Amiga walking around in some rebel hangar somewhere down the line that we'll see whether it's animated or live action.
I still just want to know how Rex ends up on that desert planet with Gregor and Wolf. Just Gregor and Wolf. Nobody else.
Just Gregor and Wolf. Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, it is the stuff they don't explain is a little tricky because it's like there were so many stories mixed into Bad Batch that they could have ended.
Yeah.
And they didn't end all of them.
And this is to your point, Kat. Like, I agree with you. You don't need to explain everything. But to Tony's point, choosing what you do and don't explain also is, you don't want it to feel arbitrary. There's stuff where you don't explain it. And it's like, oh, that's an interesting mystery. And I don't ever need to know more about
We don't need the
Boba
backstory
Fett.
On who assembled that mouse droid.
but if you choose to have something that's critical and feels like, oh, we've really fleshed out these
but
stories.
But if you introduce Emery, who's also a clone, and then we never talk about that and never do anything with it, that's weird.
It's a little odd. It's a little odd. It's a choice.
I think what would make me happy then, because I think my happiness
is paramount.
Is paramount, as we all agree.
Mm-hmm.
is a series
it's written into the contract of this podcast that Dan and I did not read closely enough. Oh well, what are you going to do?
Always read your contracts. Well, if we've learned anything from Avernus, it's read those contracts. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking of like the little. I guess they still do them. You know the Pixar shorts before, like the Pixar movies.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How they're always like cute and heartfelt.
Those aren't canon, just so we're clear.
Yes. Of course, the lamp though is.
Okay.
No, I would love a series of kind of like that kind of vibe. So like 7-minute long shorts of life on Pabu with the clones, like dealing with little issues like Wrecker tries to catch a fish.
Pixar movie Luca set on Pabu? I'm pretty sure that's
very light. It's not. It's definitely not.
It's not. It's set in Italy.
But not like real Italy, just so we're clear. The fish people aren't real.
Well,
don't at me. But that's what I think would like. And I think that would, because Emery shows up and just sort of, because what I want, and I maybe no one else wants this, are those little quaint little life stories of what it's like for essentially soldiers to readjust to a life of peace.
Mm-hmm. I think it could be, that would be fun, like to see those shorts. I agree with you. Like you could do it in like a Tales of the Jedi style thing where it's like 6 15-minute episodes about each of them just doing like.
But no fighting, zero fighting. And like Hunter becomes a school teacher, right?
I do like that. I mean, I think I always have. There is that tricky thing as we have expanded the Star Wars universe beyond 3 movies, beyond 6 movies, and so on, where they then show us characters like, I think, especially later, where I felt kind of like betrayed, where it's like that character didn't end up where I thought they were. And I think I felt a very strong emotional moment in like The Force Awakens, where. Carrie Fisher, where Leia is like a general and like still in a bunker wearing fatigues. And I was like, you were supposed to get to be a senator. You were supposed to get to live somewhere that had hot showers. And you're like basically a senior citizen still living out in the woods. That is not a good deal.
It's like Han Solo lost his beaten up pickup truck and had to get another car and is just bumming around the galaxy, man.
And like, no offense to Han Solo, but like, you know, I feel like that. You know, he's not a princess, Dan, is what I'm just going to come out here and say. He's not a princess.
Had to get a red arm or whatever.
A red arm. Yeah. Where's the story about that?
R2-D2 is in mothballs.
Yeah. You know, but
we just turned him off.
General.
He was so creepy all the time.
But General Organa is still sleeping in a bunker.
Yeah.
She's from a Senate family adopted.
Getting a little off the rails here. Guys, come on. We've got a podcast to do here.
Oh, sorry.
But the idea is...
What kind of ice cream was it again?
Chocolate marshmallow and Butterfinger.
Anyway.
Fluff cone. What was I saying? No. No, but the idea that Leia probably must have had some time in the New Republic before she goes back to the bunker.
All right, we just didn't see her.
Yeah.
I think about
we love retirements is what we're saying, which, you know, as people of a certain generation, exists mainly as a science fiction story for us. Oh, sorry, too real.
I was gonna say something about that was a nice touch at the end of this episode where when Omega goes to open the ship, Gonki is on the ship.
Yeah.
Yes.
So Gonki also survives, which is good.
Which I had forgotten if he had survived. I guess
there was a question.
Inherently did.
When they
did
blew
he
up.
Survive the explosion?
Yeah. I think Wrecker grabs him.
He does.
And they jump
he does.
Off.
Okay. He does.
Just, I mean, I feel like a power droid is basically like a walking explosive, unfortunately, also.
It's
so
it's a battery.
Yeah.
Okay. We should probably address
talk
some
about listener mail.
Final grade on the show. I give it a B. Tony,
I don't do letter grades. I only do
give it. Give me
I
a
only do arbitrary grading systems
give me
created
arbitrary.
By Guy English.
Dan, were you giving this Malcolm Merlin or something?
Okay, Tony, what would you grade it? And then Dan, just make up something that will only be relevant to like three people.
Okay.
I think I'm gonna give it a B plus. You know, I think it had some good moments. It had some moments that are inexplicable, but yeah, I mean, I don't know. Am I going to tell you not to watch The Bad Batch? If you're watching Star Wars animation, you should watch this, right? Also, if you have listened to us talk about it for like 30-something episodes before deciding, which apparently a large number of people have now written in to tell us that you do not watch the shows, which, you know what? You be
good
you.
For you.
It seems like it's working out great for you.
It's a definitely more efficient way to do it. That's not true.
Yes.
We usually last longer than that. Yeah, I agree. B plus. I agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's still several notches above Star Wars Resistance.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Which is the most bad. Skippable of the
I always forget about that and then I remember and then I
didn't even watch that much.
I did not like it. And I think I've talked about on the podcast repeatedly why I did not like
that's it. That's fine. We don't have to go into it. We don't have to relitigate that. I give this 2 Gonkies out of 3 Gonkies.
So you just give it...
Damn, that's the 66%. That's a D.
Yeah,
that's in your weird grading system.
Oh,
my grading system
some
is
kind
an Orbesh.
Grade inflated system? Okay.
So 2 Gonkies. You give this 2 Gonkies.
No, I would agree with you guys. I mean, I think it's a solid like B plus A minus. It's like it's not the best. It doesn't hit the highs.
Great inflation over here.
It doesn't hit the highs of Rebels. Or
the
highs
of
Clone Wars or the lows of Clone Wars.
The lows of Clone Wars, no.
It's very solid. I think it has a couple really standout bits. That season 2 finale, those couple episodes in there are really good.
And that tech
pod
racing
episode. I mean, it looks amazing. I mean, there is basically the thing where...
They up their game so much.
Just
the animation just gets better and better.
It's incredible. The trees, when they're going in the rain on the platform, the trees shaking in the rain and the wind. Oh,
yeah, like,
I
mean,
there.
You like you look back at something like, you know, even Rebels, which I think looks pretty good for the most part, looks kind of
that leans
rough.
A little bit more into the stylistic design.
But like early Clone Wars, which is
early Clone Wars, which
great.
You know, I rewatched a lot. I mean, it's aged, right?
Yeah, it's very much of the time.
Yeah,
but this
I mean,
looks
it was TV
so
quality animation from almost 20 years ago.
And I appreciate they've managed to retain the stylistic nature of that.
Yeah.
With the way the character designs are and everything, it's not like hyper realistic. It is still very like style, like, you know, very all the faces are very smooth and like everything is very
there's
it's
no
not
uncanny valley.
Right, we're never trying to approach that, but that the environments and the technology and everything looks amazing. So full marks on that, and that's why it's the biggest shame. If you don't do anything else, why have you built up this an amazing animation studio?
I will.
All right. We've done our grades. We've put to bed the Bad Batch. It's time for some mail.
We're done with Star Wars. We have covered all Star Wars.
Is this the end of the show?
Yeah. Huh? Yeah. Good job, everyone.
Well,
on to moonlighting.
All right. So, did we already address this one? No, I've forgotten. I got this. I'm sorry. I'm trying to remember where my mail is.
Do you want Kat and I to vamp while you figure out what you're doing? Hey, Kat,
I already did this one. I don't know why it tells me it's from yesterday. That's
who are you talking to?
Oh, there it is. Sorry. It was selected on... I was selecting in the wrong message on my mail thing. I was like, I swear I've read this one. No, this
you
is from listener
to someone about how to use your computer?
I was checking to make sure I didn't have more
mail. Do you
want
me to get my Microsoft computer?
Is that what you call it? A Microsoft computer?
PC, perhaps?
Sure. These are we're going to start with the email messages to acp@theincomparable.com. The first one's for Jay. Jay writes, thanks for another great...
For Jay?
There we go. That's not what you said. Yeah.
Yeah. The first one is for Jay, from Jay. I don't know why he CC'd us on this.
I don't think you should be reading his mail.
This is a felony.
Subject line, thanks for another great season. I probably won't get a chance to watch the series finale before you guys record the podcast, so just wanted to mail in and say thanks to the three of you for another terrific season of the podcast. I've really enjoyed this season of Bad Batch. Sorry to see it ending, but I'm hopeful of the idea you mentioned last week that maybe we'll see Omega in a future live-action show. And also, maybe perhaps that's why they gave Ventress a cameo. Yeah.
We'll never know.
Above everything else, though, I was blown away by the animation this season. Kat's mentioned it a few times. She's absolutely right. I really hope they keep going with the animated shows alongside the live-action ones and with the same team, because it's been fantastic. Anyway, thanks again. I've thoroughly enjoyed listening to the three of you discuss the shows each week, and I'm looking forward to the return of ACP to see what you make of The Acolyte. This is signed Jay, nearly 50, from the UK, was well aware of moonlighting even as a kid in the 80s, even though I was probably too young for the show at the time. I don't have a favorite tree, which I think is something Kat asked for at one point.
I don't remember.
What a weird email signature that person presumably uses for every message they send.
But our puppy's name is Willow, and she looks like she comes from the forest of Endor. So here's a pic of her. So we got dog pic.
That's so cute. Cute dog pic.
Okay,
I love
Dan, you understand that the listeners won't be able to see that.
That's fine,
adorable,
but we see it.
I'm pointing
white
pointing at Tony so Tony can see the cute dog.
Does Jay say whether or not he watched or played Crossfire?
No, but we do have Crossfire relevant mail.
Dan, just for the listeners, what kind of dog was that?
I don't know. I don't know anything about dogs.
Okay.
I thought computers could tell you the breed of dogs.
They can, but I don't have to like save it and do it's like a whole thing.
Okay, never mind. I regret asking. I thought it was a simple question. It's
brown and white, Tony. No, what do you want from me?
Dan, Kat, do not grab the iPad out of my hands.
Do you know what type of dog it is?
Nope.
Yep, that went well.
Okay, 3 for 3.
Very
good
cute
job,
dog,
everybody.
Though. Very cute dog.
Yeah. If you would like to know what kind of dog Jay has, write to Jay at jay@ihaveabrownandwhitedog.com. Jay, I don't know if you've registered that or not. That'll be left as an exercise for you. Good luck.
Joe, not Jay, writes, Bad Batch, I've enjoyed your chaotic coverage of the Bad Batch. Sorry it's over, but more Star Wars soon. What did you think of the future they show us for Omega? Do you think she will appear in future animated or live action shows or movies? Are you surprised, disappointed that we didn't get any info on Omega's origin before Nala Se died? How did she and Emery become female clones? Was it intentional that she, but not Emery, has special force blood? Joe, you heard us talk about it. We don't know, and we are a little... miffed is too strong a word, but like, puzzled? Curious? I think it's a weird choice that they decided not to explain, like, to
I
basically
have zero curiosity about it.
I just don't.
Zero.
I think for
I
me,
I just don't.
It, like, making it a MacGuffin and not really, like, having a logic to it, it was the thing that bothered me.
Okay. No, you cannot. You cannot critique a show, Star Wars, for not having a logic to something around the midichlorian M counts. Like, this is one where, and thank God they didn't go into explain it, of like, no, I don't want any more science around this. It's bad enough that there is a science around this.
I don't need the science of it.
But as soon as you get into it.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying the science is important.
Okay, please describe to me the episode that you would want to see that goes to this.
I wanted the plot of it. It's like, I just wanted them to explain.
Why Nalase did it?
Why does Omega exist? Random? If it's random, that's fine. I just want them to say
you
that.
Wanted
they never explain anything about like
Nalase says, you know, your existence was an accident. I'm sorry it caused you so much trouble. Or Omega, you were always going to be the most important one, but I want you to have a normal life. I'm Nalase. Just ask me about my thermal detonators.
2-for-1 deal.
Okay.
That's all I want. I just want a plot rationale. I don't need to. I don't care about the science aspect of it. That's not what bothered me. I just wanted an explanation of why this existed. Like, why are we here? What's the entire point of this thing, which supposedly drives this entire show? Part of me wonders if there was a point where they're like, hey, let's make her a force sensitive clone. And then like halfway through the show, they're like, you know,
somebody said we can't do that.
We can't do that, or we shouldn't do that. And they just sort of tried to reel it back. And so you end up with this weirdly uneven thing where they kind of felt like they hinted at it and then just abandoned that plot line.
There are some things that I like that they fit together. I was thinking about like when she releases the Zillow Beast, I was thinking about, remember like toward the very beginning of the episode where they're or season where she and is it Crosshair are on that random garbage planet and she's like, I want to release the animals.
Yeah.
And Crosshair is like, ugh. And it's like, you know what? She always wants to release the animals.
Yep.
So, she's
consistent. Very consistent.
Yep.
Yeah. I would like to, I'm not going to do it, but at some point go at least look back the summaries of the very few first few episodes of Bad Batch when they're on Kamino. Cause I feel like there are some conversations about, atypical clones, but I have to go back. I don't know.
Yeah, TV. I don't think they really go into that much detail, but yeah.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Some Mastodon posts. We are at acp@zeppelin.flights. Nicholas writes in reference to last week's episode, over twice the length of the aired episode must mean a moonlighting after show. A different Nicholas, not the same Nicholas, writes, I played and owned Crossfire.
Awesome.
Oh, fancy.
Did he like it?
That is all the information I have.
feels significant that it wasn't mentioned. Yeah.
Lyle writes in, happy birthday, Dan. My last episode was recorded on my birthday. This episode is much more entertaining than the actual Bad Batch episode. Loving the A Complicated Board Game pivot. Can you do Star Wars, Clone Wars, Risk, Wars? It has a built-in time limit mechanic for easy podcasting and is hilariously unbalanced.
So I'm like, this is a real game.
I will be honest. Yeah. I had that game. I was given it. I never opened it.
Oh, just to have it?
No, that was like 3 moves ago. Because I came out during the era of the prequels. And I think I put it on the curb and someone took it.
Would you?
So when I moved from Western Massachusetts.
I enjoyed you playing Risk. I do. It's not as good as Monopoly, but it's pretty good.
Why do you only like terrible games?
Yeah. Why don't you like good games?
Guys, I grew up in the 90s. There were not a lot of good board games.
And the answer is now we have better ones.
Yeah. You understand that board game technology has continued to evolve. And it also, do you think that we grew up in some wildly different era?
A little older than I am.
What? Yeah, we therefore had access to fewer board games. What do you think we were playing?
We were playing Parcheesi and Clue.
Parcheesi is a great game.
Oh my god!
Sorry, it's a great game. Candyland's a great game. Shoes and Ladders is a great game.
Okay,
Chinese Checkers is a great game.
Just griefing now.
Candyland is not even meet the legal definition of a game. It's not a game. It has no game state. Look, when I was a kid,
you don't have a game state.
That's true. But when I was a kid, you know what my favorite board game was? Reading Choose Your Own Adventure books alone in my room.
I thought you were going to say that thing with the hoop and the stick.
No. Did you ever, there was a game, I recall graduate students playing it. There was this game where you just, like, somebody gets electrocuted every round. Did anyone else play that? I went to at least one party.
The Milgram Experiment?
Basically, but no, there's a game where literally, like, you all hold like a metal thing, yes. And then there's a buzzer, yes. And whoever hits the buzzer last gets zapped. What? And I went to a party where drunk graduate students were playing this, and I was like, what are you doing? Anyway, that's why I decided about complicated games.
I will remember I did have Hunger Hippos, which I still love. What's the game with the Bop It? Or Simon?
You were thinking of Bop It.
It's not really a game either.
But before that, the Simon one, right? When you had a tap.
Yes,
I didn't have Simon.
That game is so stressful.
I didn't have games with batteries.
Guys, I hate to tell you this, we have a lot more mail.
Lyle
finishes his thing. Post-viewing edit. Yes, very satisfying ending. I especially like the bit with Nalase and Rampart. Overall, the best season. Food Science, who we've heard from before, and I can't remember your name. Sorry, Food Science writes, I'm behind. I just finished episode 14. Boy, those Imperial scanners are just about as good as in the Lego game. Shove a helmet on and you're good. It didn't notice Echo, yep. And then let him into the lab where troopers aren't allowed. Why do they bother? And then there's the great picture from the Lego Star Wars game of Chewbacca wearing a stormtrooper helmet just halfway on his head.
That's kind of how Wrecker wears.
Yes, it's true. Michael says, do we actually now know less about Star Wars than we did 15 episodes ago? Totally called the time jump thing.
Always good when a show causes you to unlearn things.
Let's see. Christopher writes, by the way, I remember watching Moonlighting during its first run. It was a good show, but I'd never predicted a film career for Bruce Willis. Everyone wanted Pierce Brosnan to be James Bond, though. This is true. In fact, Pierce Brosnan was cast to be James Bond in the 80s. Or they wanted him, but he was doing Remington Steele at the time, so they could not do James Bond, and that is why they got Timothy Dalton instead. Mm. Oh. And later on, 10 years later, he got to play James Bond. Scott writes, my kids have Crossfire. They play it once in a while, much less since they started playing chess. Hello, nerds. Our two-year-old niece, however, loves it. She seeks it out and demands to play it whenever she comes over, and you included a picture of the Crossfire thing, which now that I look at it, I think I did play this at a friend's house once.
Yeah.
Okay.
Late-breaking news. Stratego was a good game, too.
Yes, Stratego was a good game.
Stratego was like, I think, the first.
We'll allow it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, as long as we just never talk about Candyland again.
Oh. I liked Candyland.
It's not good.
It's predetermined.
You're predetermined again.
Daniel, not me, writes, I knew of Crossfire from the ads, but I never saw it in real life. Didn't Crossfire. Think it actually existed. But even more importantly, a different Star Wars podcast I listened to, Return of the Pod, does the Crossfire theme every time Crosshair comes up, so it feels fitting that came up here too. I feel like those guys stole our shtick.
It's, you know, you get what you pay for.
Jackson writes, I would definitely buy a Justice for Blue Leader t-shirt, which I think we did. Tony designed, and Kat and I were not useful.
We were on vacation.
It's in committee, which is to say I did a lot of work, and Dan and Kat have not replied to my email yet because they're probably too busy eating ice cream or something.
I didn't get any ice cream. Jackson continues, my partner says I'm not allowed to buy more t-shirts until I wear out some of my Star Wars or podcast t-shirts. Mm-hmm. Rowan writes, in a recent episode, you guys came to the conclusion that Wrecker would be a, quote, good hang, unquote, and I agree. But I can't stop looking at every Star Wars character through that lens. I'm not a good hang, like good to hang out with. Yeah, I'm not sure many other Star Wars characters would be a good hang either. Curious to see what you think. If you were to throw a party with Star Wars characters, who would you actually want to invite for a fun time?
Oh, okay, this is going to take Zivrealis for at least Lando. 12 minutes. Lando, best hang.
Come on, the cape.
Yeah, Lando.
Yeah, what's tricky? I feel like if you invited Lando to a party, I think you have at best a 50% shot that he will show up. And he's rolling in like 2 hours late.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But he's
oh,
bringing, yeah. And if he shows up, he's also going to bring like 60 other people. Yeah. Yes. And like, I'm actually not sure I would invite Lando or Han.
I don't know if you invite Lando Han's to a party so much up. As you go to all of Lando's parties. Yeah. It's the tricky thing. That's true.
Han's not going to show up. He's drinking whiskey in a corner somewhere
I'm
by himself.
I'm
going
to invite the young Mon Mothma. I think she would be fine.
This is a
little serious.
Well, yeah, no, I think like having her in.
Is this a fancy cocktail party?
No. It's a backyard barbecue. It's the only party we throw.
Okay.
Sorry. Picture saying, like, thank you. Could I have some more of those ribs? Do you call them? Sorry.
Pass the squigs.
Yeah, so. But I would invite no one else from Andor.
Oh, I was going to say Luthen. Yeah. I'm inviting Luthen.
Yeah, Luthen and.
He's just going to speech at you for a while. It depends which version of you get. Yeah.
Really serious. Sacrifice everything
not
for
Cassian.
These ribs.
Cassian shows up, puts a bunch of food on his plate, and then leaves.
Yeah,
and Cyril Karn just eats, staring at everyone in the corner.
Yeah, I don't understand why we started with this show. Okay, let us go in the other direction of people that would be fun to have at a backyard barbecue.
Oh,
from the Star Wars.
Who's Boba's friend? Not Ming-Na Wen.
Fennec Shand.
100% bring
okay.
Fennec Shand.
Yeah, I could see that.
She would help me
little
set up.
Intense. I would just be worried that possibly one of your other guests might get collected for a bounty.
Important question.
I would bring a couple Ewoks. I think they know.
Yeah. They'll have to pick up.
Couple Ewoks.
Not more than one Wookiee.
R2-D2.
Yeah, no.
Definitely R2-D2.
Yeah,
it's great at serving drinks.
Let R2-D2 like hang out. He doesn't need to.
Can we discuss musical choices? Because I think the Max Rebo Band is the correct choice to have play your party.
All of the Finger and Dan fans are unsubscribing from our podcast.
The modal nodes can hit the road.
Yeah. Is the Max Rebo Band, are they all alive? Have we covered that?
I think we just discussed it.
Yeah,
but I think
jive. Yeah,
I think in some novel they somehow all survived the explosion of the
sail barge. Yeah.
The sail barge that they were clearly.
I'm gonna be honest. There's not. I think if I was like being honest, if I was legitimately throwing a party, inviting everyone from Star Wars. I think the people I only really want to come are the folks from Rebels and the Bad Batch. Everyone else seems like an obnoxious guest.
I would. Yeah, you know who I
Luke.
Would. You know who
oh,
I'd invite?
God. Oh,
do you know who I'd invite?
Yeah, I know.
He'd show up really early and he'd bring like a really nice gift. Wedge. Yeah. Wedge would show up like super early and be like, oh, yeah, I brought you an entire cake that I made myself. Yeah. Like, that's okay.
That's Book Wedge, not the decanonized Wedge.
Well, it's Dennis Lawson. Wedge.
Yeah. Just, right, we're just going to fight Dennis Lawson and then
let me ask
characters.
A controversial question.
Yeah.
Yoda.
No.
Hold on. What about prequel Yoda?
It's better than like original trilogy.
Also invite Mace Windu.
Grief Yoda.
Oh yeah, Mace Windu actually is. I think he would be
if they came together, is Mace Windu have to drive Yoda?
He can't reach the pedals.
So also prequel Obi-Wan or A New Hope Obi-Wan?
I don't want any Obi-Wan.
No,
I don't want any Jedi.
I would potentially fight Alec Guinness.
If you have more than one Jedi, it's like they don't stop talking about council business the whole time.
God, you're right.
They do not have any work-life separation. It's such a drag.
Okay, I would make an exception for Kanan.
Yeah, no, like I said, mm-hmm. Rebels crew. Rebels crew is fine. Everyone on the Rebels is fine.
Zeb is a good hang.
But Kanan, I think Kanan just wants to hang out with his family. He doesn't want to go to a party.
No, he probably
wouldn't come. But he would be not happy about it.
I would also consider, what's his name? Callan Beck, the Ahmed Best Jedi who we see show up in that one Mandalorian episode.
Dan, do you have a lot of read into the personality of that guy?
I just read, there's a whole New York Times article today about Ahmed Best.
You understand that Ahmed Best is a real person.
He seems cool.
Dan, he's not a character in Star Wars. He's two characters in Star Wars. I apologize.
I still stand behind Rebels and Bad Batch. Mm-hmm. Everyone else, mm-hmm. not invited.
Yeah, okay. And all of Bad Batch, are we letting Crosshair in? Yeah, I mean, he's been redeemed.
It depends
on where we are in the season.
Yeah, if we invite him, if we don't invite him, everyone else, the Bad Batch won't show up, right? Do you want to piss off Wrecker?
You're going to invite everybody but one guy from the Bad Batch?
Shoot up
10-15 minutes.
Told you. Yep. Good job.
Another Michael just wrote... posted the things you do
in the 12 minutes we took to do this. More mail.
CC'd. Oh, I wasn't done. We just derailed ourselves. Michael posted the things you do, CC'd the ACP account, and just posted this picture, which, if you can see, is several Moonlighting DVDs.
Nice.
Oh no.
Nice.
Okay. And then Nicholas, one of our previous Nicholas's, wrote, did someone say squigs? Because here is a squigs recipe from StarWars.com.
Wait, really?
Raise a glass to Mon Mothma and the Rebellion.
What?
With this Chandrillan squigs recipe.
Can you please tell us what's in it?
I think we've discussed this before, but I don't remember. For the squigs, 1 tablespoon raspberry gelatin powder, 1 tablespoon unflavored gelatin, 1/2 cup boiling water, 1 tablespoon heavy whipping cream, and 6 flexible plastic straws. So I think you essentially make gelatin.
Jello?
Yeah. it's not jello, but it's like a gummy worm.
You make a gummy worm.
You make a gummy worm.
Okay. And
then you put it in the drink. And the drink is 2 tablespoons mango juice chilled, 12 ounces lemon lime soda chilled, ice for serving. And then this is how you make them. Basically, you're putting the gelatin in the straws.
Any good or not.
It's gummies.
Put the gelatin in this. Okay, you got it. Sorry, yeah.
It's gummies, like gummy worms in a lemon lime soda with a little bit of mango.
I don't think I like gummy worms.
You don't like gummy worms? Do we need to send a bunch to your house?
You know what is gonna infuriate somebody, and I'm actually starting to like judge myself. I like gummy bears.
No, I actually, I'm going to pause here and say, I was actually going to say, I don't love gummy bears. Gummy worms, I think, are the lowest of them, but I actually like the gummy peaches and the gummy circles. Those, I think, are the best.
I love gummy bears. Haribo, specifically.
We had stale Haribo, 2 months ago. They're
awful. That's true. That was disappointing. That was very disappointing. Also, I couldn't remember. I was trying to find an email, and I couldn't remember if we talked about this last week or not. I thought I had gotten a letter about it.
Dan hasn't slept much in the past 2 days, just to call out whether
there's
some challenges.
This is great. Yeah.
No, I don't remember where I found it, and I can't see. It might have been in the Discord or somebody, but somebody saying that when they were talking about catchphrases, that my catchphrase should have been "laugh so hard that I like lean away from the microphone." They're like, because you've been doing that for basically since the early Incomparable days. I thought that was very funny, and so thank you, whoever said that. I can't remember who it was. I think that is the end. There were, oh, I will say, God. We did have a lengthy thread in the Complicated Profession episode thread in Discord, which was very nice, including Crossfire talk. but I'm not going to read all those here. We have already gone long enough.
Members can go and read that themselves.
Yeah.
And
participate we have in many it. Suggestions for member episodes now, which is good because member month isn't for like another 6 months.
It's okay. We will forget until 5.5 months from now and scramble to put something together at the last minute.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Faded. well, we've reached the end of Bad Batch.
I saw a small play playing out on Kat's face where she's like, no, we won't. Yes, we will. And then she said nothing the whole time. Just a look of disagreement and then gradual acceptance.
it's true. Well, this isn't the last you've heard from us. It is May the 4th, as we mentioned at the top of the show. There is a new miniseries, Tales of the Empire, has just aired on Disney Plus. We have not watched it yet, but we will
Tony,
plan on...
Tony, have you
on...
seen it yet?
No.
No. I'm part of that we.
Oh, well, I wasn't sure if Dan was just speaking for all of us, but
no, because he literally texted us that he wasn't supposed to watch it, right? Yeah.
I have no recollection of this.
Yeah, that was like an hour ago.
Yeah, no.
I guess an hour ago we were recording this show. It was more like 2 hours ago.
I did text you about it. That's okay.
Anyways, we will watch that and we will discuss it
next week.
And then we'll be off for a couple weeks and then we'll be back to talk about The Acolyte, which debuts on June 4th.
You don't want to promise that we'll do some kind of filler in between that we won't do?
No.
Not going to do that.
Oh, we've learned. Oh. Yeah. Remember when we were going to cover the under-promise, episodes of Rebels?
Under-promise, over-deliver.
Yeah. Good times.
yeah, if we're back, then, you know, lucky you. But if not...
if you ever hear our voices again, consider yourself fortunate.
We'll say there is a new, also for Star Wars Day, there is a new Acolyte trailer out there.
Lackluster... Mm-hmm. Star Wars Day. I mean, not in a bad way. Like, I'm not going to criticize anyone, but just sort of like I was expecting some sort of big jazzy and
like I feel like there was. I think this Star Wars Day I thought was interesting in that it seemed to belong. It belonged to the people, which is to say, there wasn't as much big official things so much as there were. It seemed like there was lots of other stuff. For example, I was surprised a decent number of podcasts that are not Star Wars related did Star Wars things for Star Wars Day. A Star Warsy Apple ad. I'm kind of amazed that it exists.
My head almost exploded.
As far as ads go, you can go to Six Colors to see Dan's breakdown of all the Easter eggs in it.
I did not, and I will be clear, not comprehensive, as several people have pointed out to me other things since then. And I was just looking at some of the numbers, which I thought was very cute. There's apparently a Kanan reference. In there, it mentions the bus goes to like Kanan Doom Road.
Oh man,
yeah.
I just love the snow, the speeder bike that goes by at one point in regular traffic.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, but stuff. It is that's actual. It's a speeder bike built onto a bike. That's like a fan.
I assumed it wasn't a real speeder bike.
Okay. Well, you said it was a real speeder bike. All right. I'm done.
Yes. So, anyways, go check that out. It's a pretty entertaining couple minute watch. Thanks everybody for listening to our coverage of the Bad Batch. We've really enjoyed it. We're glad that we were able to share it with all of you and that you tuned in to listen. And we really appreciate all our members who go to theincomparable.com/members to support us. This is a show that we do for fun and we enjoy it and we enjoy that other people like it. We will be back next week to talk about Tales of the Empire. But until then, I'd like to thank my co-host for this incredible journey. Kat Benish, thank you for being here.
Thank you, and justice for Blue Leader.
Tony Sindelar, always a pleasure.
Yub nub, nerds.
I get that.
And thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We will be back next week, but until then, may the Force be with you.
The Incomparable Podcast Network. Become a member and support this show today. TheIncomparable.com/members.